Hi, good morning, everyone. A very blessed and happy Christmas to all of you. It's such a wonderful blessing and joy to see so many new faces with us this morning. And we are very glad that you have chosen to spend this Christmas morning together with us here at Zion Serangoon. Now, many people I speak to generally look forward to Christmas. Now, if you think about it, it's hard not to like the Christmas season. After all, who doesn't like the lovely Christmas lights that come on in our shopping malls and streets every year? And what about the festive meals and gatherings of family and friends? And of course, who doesn't like the presents that are received and exchanged each Christmas? But are the festivities, the food, and the presents all there really is to Christmas? Now, if you seriously think about it, why do we even celebrate Christmas in the first place? As a Christian, I believe that the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, is why we celebrate Christmas. In the commercialization of the season, many around the world have lost sight of the real reason why Christmas is celebrated in the first place. But if the birth of Jesus is the first and primary reason for celebrating Christmas, we will then need to ask ourselves a more basic question. Why did Jesus come at all? Now, if the Christmas story is real, does Jesus coming to earth, does God coming to earth even make any sense? Why would the Son of God, who is eternal, immortal, almighty, all-powerful, the greatest conceivable being, choose to step into the frailty and the limitations of humankind? Think about it. What drove him to do that? Well, the good news is there's a book in the Bible called Colossians that answers these questions. And that's where we'll turn to for our answers this morning. Why did Jesus come to earth as a human baby that first Christmas more than 2,000 years ago? Well, the first reason Jesus came that first Christmas was to do something special. He came to qualify you and me. Now, you must be thinking, qualify? Qualify me for what? Now, I'm sure most of us will have had to meet some kind of qualification before you were admitted to a school or hired for a particular job. Now, many places and organizations require the right degree, skill set, certification, and maybe even some kind of apprenticeship before they allow you to teach, to build, or to manage something. Now, your qualification tells your employer, potential customers, or even the school admissions board that you've received the right kind of training needed to do your job or to be admitted into a certain course. Well, that's a special qualification that God gives us through Jesus. Now, the big difference is, this isn't a qualification to perform a task or to get a job done. Rather, it's a qualification that gains us entry into God's heavenly kingdom. Now, this is exactly what we just read from Colossians 1:12 earlier. It says, give thanks to the Father for what? Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, the word qualified used here basically conveys the idea that through Jesus Christ, we have been made fit or enabled to enter into God's heavenly kingdom. Now, I want us to see how qualify means that somebody has to do the work of qualifying, and that person is none other than Jesus. We are made fit, we are enabled to enter God's kingdom, not by our own qualification or any other qualification. Rather, we are qualified to enter God's kingdom when we accept Jesus as our Savior by putting our trust in Him. And when we do that, God receives us into His kingdom based on the qualification that comes through trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, and when you commit your life to Him, Jesus qualifies you for entry into God's kingdom. There's no other way to enter God's kingdom then through faith and trust in Jesus alone. Only He can qualify you and me because we lack the qualification to come to God on His terms. This is the first reason why Jesus came that Christmas. He came to qualify you for entry into God's kingdom. Now, when Jesus came as a baby that Christmas day, He also came to claim you for Himself. Now, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, He doesn't just qualify you and give you the right to be in a relationship with God. Jesus also claims you as His own. Now, this is what the writer of Colossians means when he says this. Now, listen again. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you for what? To share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, the saints in light here refers to people who have been qualified by Jesus, and these are Christians. Jesus qualifies you for entry into God's kingdom because He wants you to share in God's heavenly inheritance. Now, when we start trusting Jesus, something real and amazing happens. The Bible tells us that we get adopted into God's family and become His sons and daughters forever when we accept Jesus as our Savior. Jesus claims us for Himself so we can become the children of God. Now, this is exactly what another Bible writer called John assures us of when he says this. But to all who believed Him, being Jesus, and accepted Him, Jesus, He, God, gave the right to become His children. Now, you can become a child of God today if you put your trust in Jesus. And if you become a child of God, you will also share in His heavenly inheritance. Now, isn't that just simply amazing? Now, one aspect of Christmas that we don't often talk about is this. Jesus came that first Christmas as a helpless human baby for a very specific mission. He was born as a human baby so He could one day die on a cruel cross. God became man so He could die. But why did Jesus need to die? Jesus died a most horrific death on a wooden cross so He could make payments for wrongs, your wrongs and my wrongs. He died as a sacrifice on our behalf. It took the coming of God's Son as a human being and His sacrifice on the cross to open the way for us to get right with God. Jesus makes our adoption as God's children possible. Now, if you receive the gift of Jesus' sacrifice by trusting Him and believe that He's the one and only Son of God, you will be adopted as a son or daughter of the living God. Jesus makes that possible because He came at Christmas to claim us for God and His kingdom. So Jesus came that first Christmas to qualify and to claim you. He also came that first Christmas to rescue you. Now, I wonder how many of us have had to make that emergency 999 or 995 call before. I've had to do that a couple of times in my life. But if you made these emergency calls before, you will know that it's just a matter of time, especially in Singapore, that the police, firemen, or SCDF officers will show up to deal with your emergency. And when they do, you're able to breathe this huge sigh of relief because you know that someone who can help you has arrived and the emergency will soon be taken care of. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, that's because Jesus is the ultimate rescue worker. The writer of Colossians tells us that Jesus has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Now, I want us to see the powerful language of rescue and transfer that the writer uses here. Jesus, God's Son, came to earth as a helpless human baby so He might grow up, live a perfect, sinless life, die on the cross, and then rise from the dead. He did all that so He could rescue us. Now, I know what some of us might be thinking right now. Wait a minute. What have I done that needs rescuing? I'm not in an emergency situation. I don't need a rescuer. My life is fine the way it is. Well, the truth is, and if you are being completely honest and open with yourself, we are not as perfect, ethical, and moral as we like to think. In fact, I even go to say that no human being who's ever lived on this earth, now or in the future, will ever be morally or ethically perfect. People certainly may be good and kind and generous and compassionate, sure, but nobody is absolutely and morally perfect. Now, for example, you don't need to teach a toddler to snatch another child's toy because sharing doesn't come naturally to people. You don't need to teach a young child to lie when he's done something wrong because everyone's born with a natural inclination and ability to lie, especially to get out of a tight spot. We're really stealing time, for example, when we're working from home but not really working. Now, the greed of corporations on a wider scale and governments has created devastating climate change and destruction. Income inequality is widespread, and the very poor continue to become even poorer by the day. Human beings are the only species on Earth that kill for sick pleasure and revenge. But perhaps the thing that's most messed up and sick with humanity is its rejection of God. The fact is that God made and created all things, including people like you and me. But what that means is that He has legitimate and supreme authority over all things. But sadly, many have chosen to reject and continue to reject God's authority by refusing to acknowledge and to worship Him. And this is what basically sin is: a rejection of God. But I would argue that it's completely illogical to deny God or to say that He exists. Now, why do I say this? Well, I could give you a whole bunch of reasons, but just let me land on two. The fact is, there's morality in this world. And the fact that there's morality in this world means that there's a moral God. The fact that we know what love, goodness, kindness, compassion, and forgiveness are means that there's a perfectly moral God who has given people the moral compass to know and to do all that. Now, for example, the Bible tells us that God is love. Without a moral reference to what love looks or feels like, how can anybody ever possibly love another person? We simply wouldn't know how. You simply cannot create morality or love from a chemical reaction or from some random Big Bang. That's not how it works. And that would be completely illogical. The fact that we live in a moral world means that there is a moral God. Now, another reason why it's illogical to deny God is this: a complex design points to an intelligent and creative designer. The universe, our planet, the laws of physics, your human bodies and their processes are all complex designs. Studies have shown us that if the Earth's gravity was slightly stronger, even by a billionth of its current strength, the entire universe would collapse on itself. And if gravity was slightly weaker, even by the tiniest fraction, the universe wouldn't be able to support life. Complex design simply doesn't come about by random chance. Rather, complex design squarely points to an intelligent designer. Now, take this iPhone, for example. It's been dismantled and placed in its individual parts on the table. Now, without someone to put it together, what are the chances of it ever resembling itself? Absolutely zero. You could keep banging the table over and over again, have the individual parts jump into the air a billion times, and never ever combine by random chance to become and to function as an iPhone should. Complex design means that there is an intelligent designer. And if we can all agree that the universe, the environment, and human beings are complex, then it makes complete sense that there must have been an intelligent designer who created all that. And the Bible tells us that this intelligent designer is none other than God Himself. Friends, brothers and sisters, the world is in a terrible mess, and people are in a terrible mess because we have chosen to reject God who has made and governs all things. People were made to depend on God like how a child depends on his loving father. But instead, we much rather live lives that are independent and separated from God. This, I submit to you, is why we have all the miseries and all the brokenness of life. Like a fish that somehow decides that living on dry land is better for itself and ends up dying, we have likewise chosen to live lives without God, apart from our natural environment. And Jesus, he has come to rescue you from the horror of your separation from God and to reconcile you with him. When that happens, you will experience a sense of peace that you've never felt before your entire life. A peace that floods your heart, even when things go horribly wrong and you can't seem to make sense of all the madness that's going on around you. Your Creator, he knows you. He loves you. And he cares for you. And this is why Christmas is such a joyful time. This is why Christmas is so full of hope. Like a fireman who barges into the door of a burning building and pulls you out just before the ceiling collapses, Jesus comes to rescue you and me from something far more urgent and serious. He came to rescue us from a life without relationship with God. Jesus, he is the ultimate rescue worker. He rescues you from the darkness. Now, if you're being perfectly honest, you know what this darkness looks like, don't you? You've most likely been there. You've been in the darkness of life where you felt lost, confused, alone, weak, and unable to make sense of the things that are happening to you and to others. That's what being in darkness does. It makes you unable to see, and you end up stumbling around in life, confused, clueless, and lost. This is why everyone needs Jesus. He has come to rescue us. He comes to snatch us out of the darkness and transfer us into the light, which is God's heavenly kingdom. That's where God wants you to be, living in his kingdom with him, relating to him as a child does to his father. He doesn't want you to end up as a citizen of darkness, but as a citizen of his eternal kingdom. Because of Jesus' rescue, all who submit to him as Lord will be forever transferred out of the misery of darkness and transferred into God's marvelous light. This truly is the ultimate rescue. But perhaps the question that we still need to ask ourselves is this: why does Jesus even want to do this in the first place? Why can't he just leave me in my darkness and let me do whatever I want? Well, that's because Jesus loves you. That's the simplest and the most basic answer. This is the reason behind the ultimate rescue. Jesus loves you. And as all of us know, love shows itself best in action, not just talk. Because Jesus loves you, he did something incredible. He willingly surrendered his eternity and stepped into human history by becoming a human being that first Christmas day. He came as a human person so he could do something the immortal God couldn't. He came to die. In another book of the Bible called Romans, we read this incredible truth about Jesus. Listen to this. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Jesus proved his love for you beyond any reasonable doubt by dying the most horrible death for you. And he did that not because you had anything good to give him, or that he needed anything from you. No. He simply did it out of love because you and I were living in darkness and separation from God. He came to remove the sin that keeps you separated from God so you can come to God as his beloved child. We celebrate Christmas because Jesus, the Son of God, came as a human baby to claim, to qualify, to claim, and to rescue you. And this is wonderful news that's worth celebrating over and over again. Now, I think most of us would probably know this popular Christmas song. It's a bit old, called The 12 Days of Christmas. Now, it's a fun kind of song to sing along to, and it's really quite catchy as well. Well, the song basically talks about how the songwriter's true love gives him a different present every day over the 12 days of Christmas. And what are some of these presents his true love gives him? Partridge in a pear tree, turtle doves, French hen, calling birds, golden geese, etc., etc. Okay? Now, seriously, these gifts do sound a bit lame and strange, don't they? And these are supposedly gifts from his true love. Now, I can just imagine opening up each box every day and saying, wow, what am I going to do with this partridge in a pear tree? Well, thankfully, our one and only true love, God himself, has given us not only the greatest gift, but also a gift that everybody needs. He gave us his one and his only son, Jesus Christ. Now, as we celebrate another Christmas, we celebrate the coming of baby Jesus, the Son of God. Now, even as we celebrate his coming, we also remember and celebrate why he came. Jesus came specifically and specially for us. He came to provide the only way of being reconciled with God. He came to die as a sacrifice for our rejection of God. And what a sacrifice it was. As a human, God, who is eternal and almighty, subjected himself to complete helplessness as a newborn infant. As a human, God, who needed nothing, gave himself to be cared for by human parents and grew up experiencing the painful limitations of human hunger, thirst, exhaustion, anxiety, and pain. As a human being, God, who reigned gloriously in the heavens, subjected himself to the very laws of physics he had created. And as a man, God immortal, allowed himself to be beaten, spat on, tortured, crucified, and killed. He did that all out of love for you and for me. Now, before I end, I'd like to tell you the story of a man who lived thousands of years ago. Now, this man was called David, and he was one of ancient Israel's greatest kings. Now, one night, David walked into an open field and stared into the night sky. And what he saw moved him so much that he wrote his thoughts into a song that goes like this. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place, what is man? What is man that you remember him? The Son of Man that you look after him. When David looked into the night sky that night, he saw thousands of stars, and it reminded him of God's power and creativity in making and shaping the vast universe. And then he thought of himself, a mere human being, tiny, sinful, frail, and painfully, painfully finite. And he asked why such an awesome, almighty God would even bother about him in the first place. But David knew the answer to his question. He knew that God bothered about him because God cared for him and loved him dearly. Although God's all-powerful, he's also an intimate and loving God who desires to be in a relationship with you. Now, dear friends, the God who made the stars, who set the stars and the sun and the moon in place. He wants to hold you in his loving hands. He wants to be your God, and he wants you to be his child. All you need to do is simply believe in Jesus, who came that first Christmas day as a helpless human baby so he could one day sacrifice himself on the cross for your sake and mine. Now, if you're already a Christian, I invite you to rededicate your life to Jesus today. Remember again why he came and what he's done for you. Now, as you behold the baby Jesus, remember God's love for you and recommit once again to being a faithful follower of Christ every single day of your life.